Thank you, orchestra. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? I know you don't hear me talk very often. It's been a long time since I've done this, but that's okay. Hey, I'm glad to be here and worship with you this morning. We've come to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Just remember, Jesus came to give us salvation so we could have eternal life. Amen. Join me as we sing this hymn. Let's all stand and sing the hymn, Jesus Saves. honor you and we worship you. Our God. Amen. Now you know this chorus. I want you to sing it with us. The splendor of our King, Jesus Christ. Let's sing this.
The splendor of the King.
Clothed
in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice.
Just tell me how great he is.
Sing with me how great.
Savior. How great. As we sing it together here. This is the air.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
You're our daily bread, Lord.
This is my daily bread. Your very word
spoken
to me.
Sing this, and I. Receive your word and your message today. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. I'm thankful and I appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity to share with you this morning and be the one to open God's word with you and allow the Lord Jesus to speak to our hearts and make us more like him today. That's been my prayer all week, is that the Lord would speak through me and that each one of us would take another step with God today, regardless of where you were or where you are when you walked into this room this morning, that each one of us, myself included, I've prayed all week that it would start with me, that when we leave here, we would leave here different. I want to encourage you over the next 48 hours to pray for our pastor, to pray for the favor of the Lord to be on his life, to pray that God would use him, to pray that God would speak through him, and that God would do a work in him and through him, because we need a great commission resurgence. And Pastor shared we need it in our church. I'm going to tell you, I need it in my life personally, and we need it in the Southern Baptist Convention and around the world. We need to see a mighty move of God. And I believe God wants to do it. I believe that God's going to do it, and he wants to do it in and through us. This morning, I want to talk to you about getting soaked, about going deeper with God, deeper than you've ever been before. And as I've already stated, that's going to look different for each one of us, because all of us are at a different place in our journey with God today. For some of us, that step is making Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of our lives. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, my prayer for you is before you leave here today that you would do that. For others, it may be that you've never followed Christ in baptism. I pray that you'll think about that today, that maybe even at the end of this time together that you would talk to one of our pastors about that. But all of us, regardless of where we are in our journey, we can take another step with him today. We can go deeper with Jesus today. So this week I've tried to kind of put some definition to this and figure out what this is going to look like. And I believe this. I believe that getting soaked is completely diving in to all that God has for you. I believe that getting soaked is taking a spiritual plunge. I believe that getting soaked and going deeper with God is immersing ourselves in who he is and who he wants us to be. So here's what I want to do before we go any further this morning. I'd like for us to pray together. And I want to challenge you this morning as we pray for you to ask the Lord to show you how you can go deeper today. What your step is. So if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes and just pray something like this. Dear Jesus, how can I go deeper with you today? Jesus, what is it that you're calling me to do? And if you'd be so bold, Jesus, whatever you ask me to do, the answer is yes. Jesus, however deep you ask me to go today, the answer is yes. And just like we sung a minute ago, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my all. Take me deeper today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my son turned 1 year old yesterday. Miles, I'm going to bring him out here. This is Miles. Miles turned 1 yesterday. We've had him 4 months. One of the things that we got Miles for his birthday is this kiddie pool. And this kiddie pool makes sense for Miles. It's pretty small. It's the smallest one I could find. But it makes sense because he's a pretty small guy. He doesn't walk yet. He sets up, so I'm going to put him in it and hope that all goes well. There's no water in it, okay? There's no water in it. Oh, you don't want to get in there? See, this makes sense. If you drove by my house, I'll get down here with you. If you drove by my house this week and you stopped in to give us a visit, and Miles was in here playing in the backyard, splashing around and having a great time, you would think that that's cute, right? You would think, aw, that's adorable. And you know, you'd make comments, or at least the ladies would. The ladies would say, aw, that's adorable, that's so cute. He thinks there's water in there now the way he's acting. He's splashing around, having a good time. We'd probably have some water toys in here and everything. And he'd be just having the time of his life, right? It makes sense. Are you ready to go? Not really? You want to stay? He wants to go back in. We'll fill it up with water and you can play today. All right, that would make sense. This wouldn't make sense. This week you drive past my house and I'm sitting in the front yard. And I mean, I'm having a time. I'm splashing around. I'm playing with the little water toys. And I'm trying to do the backstroke. You know, I mean, I'm doing my best, you know, to do what you do in the water. You'd be calling up here to the church. Pastor would get an email. And you'd be trying to figure out what has happened to our student pastor. Has he lost his mind? And maybe so, or maybe I just like to play in the kiddie pool. But here's the thing, church. Many of us are guilty of splashing around in the kiddie pool in our spiritual lives. We've never gotten out of the kiddie pool. Many of us are still ankle deep. Some of us are waist deep. Some of us are chest deep. And the reality is, some of you have, I mean, you've dove in. I mean, you're swimming deep in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And every day is a new day for you. And you're getting a fresh word from God. And He's speaking to you and He's using you. And that's my prayer for myself. And that's my prayer for every person here this morning. That we would go deep with God. That we would allow Him to use us. And we would allow Him to take us today deeper than we've ever been. I want to read to you Psalm 63:1. If you have your Bibles, you can open up with me. If not, I believe it's going to be on the screen. But Psalm 63:1 says this: Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, I like the way the message reads. I'm going to read it to you out of the message. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. I love that first part. God, you're my God, and I can't get enough of you. Do you desire God like that this morning? Man, I pray that I do. I pray that it would be said of me that I live my life in such a way that it shouts, God, you're my God, and I can't get enough of you. You know, to get soaked, we've got to be willing to jump in, not to a kiddie pool, but to the spiritual ocean that God has for us. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who's wet, like really wet, like they've either been in the lake or they've been in the ocean or they've been in a swimming pool, and other people around them are dry. Have you ever noticed that they like think that it's their job to get everybody else wet? Have you ever been around people like that? Teenagers are the worst about it. If you're dry, like the youth workers know what I'm talking about. If you're dry and you're around a wet teenager, they think that it's time to come give you a bear hug. They think it's time to pick you up and throw you in the pool. They don't care if you've got your cell phone, your wallet. I mean, you're going in. They just think it's their job to do that. But as I was thinking about it this week, you know what? Spiritually, I come across people that are the same way. People who are soaked in Christ, they think it's their job to get everybody around them wet. I think that's so cool. They're always looking for ways to pray with people. They're looking for ways to pray for people. They're looking for ways to encourage others. They want others to experience God the way that they're experiencing God. They want others to go deep with Him like they're going deep with Him. And this morning, I'm going to share with you right now three truths. Three truths that lead to getting soaked and going deeper with God. Truth number one is this: to get soaked takes desire. To get soaked takes desire. God is not going to force Himself on you. God is not going to force Himself on me. He's not going to make us go deeper with Him than we want to go. He allows us to go as deep with Him as we want to go. In Luke 19, verses 1-6, we find Zacchaeus. desiring to see God. If you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. Luke 19, 1 through 6. Luke 19, 1 through 6. It's talking about Jesus. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. Verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came by to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Now that's desire. He ran. He climbed. He hurried. I mean, he did everything that he could do to put himself in position to see God. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. When was the last time that you desired God that way? When was the last time that I desired God that way? I was sharing with some of our summer interns this week that, you know, most of us find it difficult to get up even just 15 or 30 or 45 minutes early every morning to spend time with God, much less run and climb and fight through the crowd and do whatever it takes to put ourselves in position to see God and go deep with Him. But you know what we do desire? A bigger house, a nicer car, more money, a better job, more stuff. And I'm not standing here this morning and saying that there's anything wrong with wanting those things, because I think that it's good to be driven, and I think it's good to have desire to be everything that God's raised you up to be. But what I want to challenge you with this morning, and the challenge for me, is to desire God above everything else. You know, we've been talking about this extreme spiritual makeover and what it looks like to give God your body and what it looks like to give God your mind. And I believe this. I believe when Jesus gets your heart, he gets your body. And when Jesus gets your heart, he gets your mind. And when Jesus gets your heart, he gets your desires. And his desires become your desires. What is it that you desire more than anything else this morning? Truth number two, to get soaked takes a leap of faith. To get soaked takes a leap of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In Matthew 17, verse 20, we find Jesus kind of getting onto the disciples a little bit because of the littleness of their faith. See, they'd been trying to cast out a demon, and they couldn't figure out why they couldn't do it. They actually asked Jesus, Jesus, why are we unable? And he answers them in verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. Listen what Jesus says. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus answered them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. I love that. And nothing will be impossible to you. Have you ever wanted to do something big for God? I mean, you just felt like God was just calling you to just really do something big for him, but you just weren't sure you had enough faith to do it. You doubted your faith a little bit. You weren't doubting God. You weren't doubting what he could do, but you were doubting yourself. You were doubting what you could do. Well, that's happened to me many times in my life. It's happened several times, even in ministry, where I felt like, man, God was really calling me to do something big, that God was calling me to lead the student ministry, to do something big. And then I started to think about Keith Harmon. I started to think about my gifts. I started to think about my abilities. And I thought, man, I don't know if I can do it. See, I took my eyes off of Jesus and I put them on me. And I started doubting. I started having little faith. I didn't have big faith. I remember when I was a kid growing up here in Springdale. And my parents, every once in a while, they would take me to the Springdale public pool. And I don't know if it still has it, but back then they had a high dive and they had a low dive. And I used to jump and dive off of the low dive a lot, but I'd never been off the high dive. And all of my friends would try to get me to jump off the high dive. I'm like, Keith, it's a great time. You'll love it. You'll have the greatest time. It's not that high. It's not that big of a deal. You should jump. And to be honest with you, I wanted to jump. I had a desire to jump. I just didn't have the faith to jump. And I remember the day that they talked me into doing it. So I went and I got in line. There was always a line for the high dive. There wasn't very big line for the low dive, but there was always a line for the high dive. And I got in that line and I waited. And I'm sure I thought of a million reasons why I was standing there, of, you know, why I should back out. I could come up with a great excuse and not have to do it. But I stayed in line and I found myself at the ladder. Now it was time to climb the ladder and I had to get some faith just to climb the ladder. So I climbed up the ladder and I walked out to the edge of the high dive and I was looking down. And the first thing I realized, and I remember thinking this, man, it looks higher from up here than it does from down there. You know, 10 feet from down there doesn't look like very much. You're just like, yeah, it's 10 feet. But when you're standing above the water, it looks a lot different. It looks a lot higher. And I remember thinking, I can't go back down, because I knew there was a rule. And the rule is, once you get up there, you've got to jump. The lifeguard won't let you climb back down, because climbing down the ladder is way more dangerous than jumping into the water. So I don't know if I really did close my eyes or not, but I can picture in my mind that I closed my eyes, I held my breath, and I jumped. And my friends were right. I liked it. It was a great time. And I've been jumping off of stuff ever since. I mean, if there's a high dive, if there's a platform, if there's a bluff at the lake and we can jump off of it, let's go jump today. I will love it. But in my spiritual life, it's not always been quite as easy as standing in a line, climbing up a ladder, and walking out to the end of the platform. Sometimes I need to hear from God a little bit more than that. And it was just a few years ago that God began to stir in my heart and stir in Jackie's heart about adopting a baby from Ethiopia. And as we prayed about that and as we talked about that, we thought there was 100 reasons why we should do it. But there was 150 reasons why we shouldn't do it. Because we were thinking about, what can we do? What can we afford to do? How much time do we have? How much money do we have? How much space in our house do we have? And, you know, the list goes on and on. As a student pastor, how much time and, you know, all of that stuff. But I remember sitting at a restaurant with Jackie in Orlando, Florida. And we began to talk about it kind of one final time. We'd been talking about it for 2 years. And we were sitting there, and I don't remember if she asked or I asked, but one of us asked the question, so are we going to do this or not? Are we going to do this or not? And we both kind of looked at each other and said, I don't know. What are you thinking? Well, I don't know. What are you thinking? Kind of wanted the other person to answer it. And kind of together we said, yeah, we're supposed to do it. And we literally drove home from eating lunch that day. We called the adoption agency that we ended up using for our adoption. And we started the process. We started the paperwork and all of the stuff that you do. And 18 months later, we had Miles, who you saw today. And obviously, it's been worth it. It's been the greatest blessing, not just for us and for our family and our extended family, but for our friends and everyone who has had a chance to meet him. And I can't wait to see how God uses him and the different leaps of faith that he'll take as he grows up. But this morning, what's your leap of faith? What is it that God's calling you to do? Maybe it's to get involved in a ministry here in our church. Maybe it's to go on a mission trip, as some of our church members just got back last night. Maybe it's just to get involved in a connection group. You know that you need to be in a connection group. We talk about it all the time, but you've never taken that leap of faith because you think, well, I'm not going to know anybody in there. And, you know, how am I going to find one? There's a lot of different ones to choose from and all that stuff. And this morning I would tell you, just jump, just go. Maybe you need to begin giving. Maybe you need to begin giving more. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's your time or your resources. But I believe all of us need to take a leap of faith with Jesus today. And what's your leap of faith? And truth number three, to get soaked takes a meaningful time with God daily. A meaningful time with God daily. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Are you satisfied this morning? Are you satisfied with where you are with God? Do you and I wake up every morning hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Hungry and thirsty for God? Like Psalm 63:1 talks about, God, you're my God, and I can't get enough of you. So I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to run like Zacchaeus did, and I'm going to climb if that's what it takes, and I'm going to fight through the crowd because, God, I've got to see you. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. You know, the cool thing about our pastor is he's always encouraging us in this. He's always talking about the importance of a meaningful time with God daily. You say, Keith, what is that? Well, it's communicating with God. It's prayer. It's us sharing our heart with God and allowing God to share his heart with us. It's being in God's word every day, allowing God to speak to our hearts through his word. Pastor always encourages us to have a specific place, a specific time, and a specific plan. I don't know that we can go any deeper in our relationship with God than our own personal time with God. I don't believe that just coming to church on Sunday morning is enough. It's great, and it's a great start, but we have to spend time with God daily, every day. It takes desire. It takes a willingness to take a leap of faith, and it takes a meaningful time with God daily to get soaked and to go deeper with God. Now let me share four things with you that hinder us from getting soaked and going deeper with God. Four things that hinder us from getting soaked and going deeper with God. The first one is this: unconfessed and unrepented sin. Romans 2:4 says this: "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" In 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, church, unconfessed and unrepented sin is so dangerous in my life and in your life. It could be the most dangerous thing that there is for us as we talk about getting soaked and going deeper with God. Unconfessed and unrepented sin, it will hinder our relationship with Christ. It will hinder us from going deeper with him. You know, unconfessed sin is just failing to admit that we have fallen short of God's glory, that we've fallen short of God's plan. Romans 3:23 says, "For all means all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Confessing sin is just admitting it. It's literally just saying, "God, I know that I've messed up. God, I know that I've fallen short. God, I know that I have fallen short of your perfect plan in this area." unrepented sin is sin that we have not turned from. Repenting from sin means turning from sin. I like to think of it this way. It's turning from sin and from self, and it's turning to God. As you turn away from sin, you turn to God. You do a 180. And you walk away from that lifestyle. You walk away from that issue. You walk away from that sin issue, and you walk towards Christ, knowing that He is your only hope, knowing that He is the only one who can clean you up. And that's something that we have to do daily. Every day, going before the Lord, asking Him to search our heart and to clean us up from the inside out. Unconfessed sin will keep you from getting soaked and going deeper with God. Hindrance number two, strained relationships. Strained relationships. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Probably a very familiar passage to most of us, says this: "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." Church, our relationships have to be soaked in Christ if we're going to go deeper with Him. Let me share with you some of the things that will hurt or hinder your relationship with Christ and will hinder you from going deeper with Him. Bitterness. Bitterness will keep us from going deeper with God. Past hurts. Past hurts can keep us from going deeper with God. Unforgiveness. Not being willing to forgive those who have hurt us. Unforgiveness can keep us from going deeper with God. When our relationships with others, whether that be family members, friends, neighbors, church members, co-workers, when those relationships are not right, it will hinder us and keep us from being all that God wants us to be and going deeper with Him. Hindrance number three, unbelief. Unbelief. In Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 24, we find Jesus healing a man's demon-possessed son. And in just a second, I want us to read verses 22, 23, and 24 together. But it comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. And it's Jesus, and he's kind of having this conversation with this boy's dad about the demon possession, about what the issue is, what the problem is. And I love the little conversation that they have. Because I think that I can see Jesus answering someone just like this today. Mark 9, 22, 23, and 24. The dad says, "It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can." I can just see Jesus answering that way, almost to say, "You know who I am, right? You know who you're talking to. You know what I've done. You know what I can do." He says, "If you can." And then Jesus says, "All things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." He said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And I believe that one of the things that keep each of us from going deeper with God and allowing Him to soak us is unbelief, because we think of all of the stuff that we've done. We think of our past. We think of how bad we've been. Some of us think about how good we've been. And we just think, you know, I don't know that God could use me. We don't believe it. And maybe it's because someone has told us that God could never use us. Maybe it's because someone has said, you'll never amount to anything. Maybe it's because someone has said, God could never use someone like you. Maybe it's because someone has literally looked you in the face. Maybe it was even a mom or a dad, and they said, you'll never be anything. Maybe they said God could never use you, and you've believed that, and you've believed a lie, because your heavenly Father, the King of the universe, says I can use anybody, and he says I will use anybody, and I want to use everybody. See, we're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us to take that leap of faith, to step out and say, God, you can use anything, and you can use anybody, so use me. I make myself available. Don't let unbelief keep you from being who Jesus wants you to be. And then hindrance number four sounds a whole lot like number three, but it's negative influence. It's negative influence. It's critics. And it's worldly stuff that whispers in your ear. It doesn't have to be someone. It can be something. Psalm 1:1 says this, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I love 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. We tell teenagers this all the time. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, or bad company corrupts good character. You know, there are certain things in your life and in my life, negative influences that'll keep us from going deep with God. They'll keep us from allowing Jesus to soak us each and every day in who he is and who he wants me to be. Those things are certain people, certain entertainment, certain websites, certain activities. And maybe you're thinking about something else right now, because really the list goes on and on. It can really be anything. It can be any negative influence that whispers in our ear anything contrary to what the Word of God says. And we don't need to listen to that, and we don't need to believe that. We need to listen to the Word of God. That's why it's so important to have that meaningful time with God each and every day. This morning, as we begin to close, I want you to ask yourself another question. What's keeping me from going deeper with God? Is it unconfessed or unrepented sin? Is it a strained relationship, a hurt relationship? Is it unbelief? The thought that God could never use someone like you. Maybe it's negative influence. Maybe there's something that you've allowed to creep into your life, and it's really something that you never thought that you would be dealing with, but you find yourself today with this issue, with this thing, with this sin problem. And although you want to beat it, I mean, you want to overcome it, and you make promises like, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to stop doing this, or I'm going to stop doing that. You find yourself continually coming back and coming back and coming back. This morning, in just a few minutes, When we begin to have our invitation time, I'm going to challenge you and encourage you to make your way down the nearest aisle and to come and do business with God and quit making promises and quit making deals with God. But leave it here. Allow Jesus to take it. Allow Jesus to clean you up like only he can do from the inside out. Allowing Jesus to have his way in your heart, knowing that he really is your only hope, and that he really is all you need. Maybe it's that you and I haven't really had a desire for God. Maybe we like church. We like hanging around with church people. And some of us even really, man, we love checking the church box. And, you know, I went to church. I went to connection group. I gave my tithe. I prayed. And some of us even take it further. And we really think that, you know, God's watching how many meaningful times with God we have each week. And we're like, haven't missed a day. 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, whatever it is. And we're really, really proud of that. But maybe if you were honest this morning, and if I was honest with God this morning, we'd say, you know what? I've desired other things above God. Maybe it's a leap of faith. Maybe today, you know, you saw Miles, or you heard our testimony about adoption, and that's something that you and your family has been praying about, and you're like, you know what? We just need to take the leap of faith. We just need to do it. Or maybe it's seriously something like getting involved in a connection group, which doesn't, you know, when sometimes that doesn't seem like a very big deal when we say it, but it really is a big deal. I mean, you've got to have that. You have to have a group of people that is pouring into you, and you're pouring into them, and you're encouraging them, and they're encouraging you, and there's this accountability. And I mean, that's who you call when you need prayer. And I mean, it's so, so important. But literally this morning, it could be that. It could just be that, okay, man, we're going to do it. We're going to go try a connection group today. Maybe you need to sign up for a mission trip. Maybe you need to get involved in an impact club right here in Northwest Arkansas. I just want to encourage you this morning, whatever God is calling you to do, whatever your step with Him is, remember when we got started, I said all of us need to take a step with Him today. All of us need to go deeper with Him today. I want to encourage you to do that.